when you're trying to rope and compete against the paycheck to feed your horse, feed yourself, pay your bills, later on my family, it's a high level of stress for sure.
All right, welcome to the podcast. This morning we have Charlie Crawford. He's a professional rodeo athlete and trainer. He started in 1997 in the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association and has qualified for the National Finals Rodeo 10 times. Charlie, brother, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So you are a rodeo legend. For the listeners who don't know, can you explain the sport of team roping?
Yeah, team roping was originated, I believe, in more of the Wild West back in the day when you would have a sick cow or a sick calf. A lot of guys would head it and heal it out there in the pasture and doctor it for whatever it be ailing them, whether it's sickness or eyes or just whatever the doctoring that needed be. And then it didn't take long, I'm sure, after that before it turned into an event and who could rope the steer, head and heal it the fastest. And then, you know, team roping wasn't, I think it was till the 60s in the PRCA before it was finally an event in the PRCA. And then I think it was 2000s before it started adding equal money for the header and the healer. And now it's a huge event because now there is categories. It's a lot like golf. Team roping is like the golf of the Western industry.
Okay.
And so there's handicaps. So if you're just beginning, you can enter a roping where you're roping against guys that are just beginners. And then it staggers up to a number three, to a number four, to a five, six, seven. And then I was a number nine. On the head side, as high as you can get is a number nine qualification. And on the heel side, it's a number 10. And so then I end up being one of the best headers in the world 10 times at the NFR. So I was at a very high level. But what's great about team roping is that's kind of where a lot of your rust stop guys go when they retire. A lot like your NBA players and football players, they choose golf because they still enjoy competing.
Right.
Well, team roping is a lot the same way. And so you see a lot of guys that quit competing because of father time or injuries or whatever have you. They'll pick up team roping because it's still in the Western industry. You can still compete. And so there's a lot of longevity in team roping as well. There's no gender. There's no age limit. There's no nothing. So it's a great event.
Yeah, I love it. We've been, as horse trailer manufacturers and retailers, we've been to many rodeos and set up shop, you know, sort of to display our trailers. And man, I love all of it, from the rodeo to barrel racing to team roping. It's really amazing to watch that. You mentioned PRCA, and just for the listeners, that's Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association. Your career started in 1997. What drew you to the rodeo world to begin with?
So my dad competed. He was a bareback rider, a team roper, one of the biggest team roping fans I ever probably met. And so he used to haul me around a lot of the ropings, the jackpot team ropings. And he was a great horse trainer. And so he had some pretty good heel horses. And so a lot of the top guys would always want to buy them or try them, or they would just, we were one of the few guys in our little place of Canby, Oregon, where I was from, that had an arena. And so that drew a lot of the contestants that might be up in, say, St. Paul, Oregon, which is a neighboring town, or Canby, Oregon, had a professional rodeo there. And so when the top guys would be rolling into town or the state, a lot of them would come to my dad's place and rope or
right. What
have you. And so when you're around those guys and you're able to see what freedom looks like.
Yeah,
so that was the American cowboy. That was the guys I remembered growing up watching. Those guys, when they would come to the house, oh my gosh, so much fun, just free. And it's very romantic as a young kid. No one knew how broke they were, but they enjoyed what they did. And they were so much different than anything else I'd ever been around. And just that energy that, I don't know, it was very romantic as a young child. And it still is today.
Yeah, it sounds addictive. So
I think there's a lot of the reasons why Yellowstone is so popular as well. You get to see what the cowboy culture
right. Looks
like. And it's very, very romantic when you're on a horse and, you know, like for the true cowboys, like the guys that actually put food on our table, you know, those guys, they're under a lot of stress, but on the same side, they're free. They're in their horse and they're out there and amongst the open range. And you know, it's very romantic. It's, I mean, as a kid, I loved it. I loved getting to go brand. I loved getting to go gather and be out there amongst the wilderness, amongst, you can feel how we were designed to be, as opposed to how schools didn't really hold my attention because it was too much inside. I always wanted to be outside.
Right. I bet it takes a lot to mentally and physically to compete at such high level consistently. And as a 10-time NFR qualifier, can you describe sort of, you know, the mental and physical aspect of it?
I worked out quite a bit, mainly because my back didn't hold up very well. I shod horses for a long time, rode a lot of colts. And so a lot of things that ain't just great for your back. And then also when you sit in that rig for 12 to 16 hours heading to a rodeo, you know, things like that, it's not very, very good for your back. So working out was something I had to maintain. I think that held a lot of my mental strength. But yeah, when you try to rope for a living, it is amazing the stress level that you can put yourself under. When you're trying to rope and compete against a paycheck to feed your horse, feed yourself, pay your bills, later on my family, it's a high level of stress for sure.
Yeah, man, I can't imagine. What are some of your most memorable experiences from your rodeo years?
Oh, I mean, I can remember so many. You know, the first time I won state in the High School Rodeo Association, you know, that was up there in Oregon. You know, that was a big deal for me, you know, winning my region in college, knocking all those little goals out that helped prepare me for when I got to the top level to finally winning my first NFR, you know, making my first NFR. All those little things were just waves that just built me and grew me, and things that I used later, whether it was being high call back and all I had to do is catch, that went back to my high school rodeo days, learning how to deal with pressure, learning how to rope amongst my peers. You know, those things all came from high school rodeo and college rodeo. And, you know, then when I got to the top level, then was how now can I make sure that if I need to be fast, I can be fast. Or if I need to go catch, I can just go catch. But one of my favorite rodeos was Houston Rodeo. And to win that and knock that one out was great. St. Paul, Oregon. I grew up around there. That was a big win for me. Pendleton, winning on the grass to make the NFR, coming from 26, I think, to make it the NFR. You know, all those little things. Yeah, I can go down a long list. Those were days to where I was like, yeah, I'll never forget them.
You mentioned providing for your family. This was not a question from our audience, but just for my own curiosity, and feel free to pass if you don't want to answer it. But I'm just curious, what sort of prize money would be expected? Like, what's the largest that you've received from one event?
So, you know, I've won close to $100,000 before at the NFR. So that's kind of where you make your money. Right. You can make a living throughout the year a little bit rodeoing. You know, it kind of pays for your tires, your rig, maintenance, gets your fees and gas if you're winning. If you're not, you're not making a living.
Yeah.
And so there's a difference between making a living and making money. You know, Houston's a big one. That was a $50,000 check there to win that one. We have a lot of big jackpots. So we used to have the George Strait. It used to pay almost $100,000. We have the BFI, the Bob Feist Invitational. That one pays 70 some thousand, I believe. You know, we have some really good jackpots that add some money, that have a lot of teams that have really big payouts. And that's where you have a chance to buy a horse or pay a rig off or invest in some land and start accumulating things of your own.
Either way, it's a lot of work and a lot of traveling, and sounds like a lot of stress too. So, you know, I know you retired a few years ago, and since then, you guys founded a nonprofit organization called the Liberty and Loyalty Foundation. Can you tell us what inspired you to start the foundation, and what type of work do you do with that?
So my dad was a Marine, and so he obviously instilled that patriot bone in me. You know, I had quite a few life lessons along the way of you stay facing the flag, you keep your hand above your heart, you take your hat off. You know, a lot of mistakes that were made that led up to now you can't get my eye off that flag. Now I know what it means and what it represents from my dad who served this country. And I have a lot of beef against our government, but I love this country. And this is something that I'll always stand for. And, you know, I started seeing so many men and women that had served that just kind of getting crapped on. And to me, that made zero sense from a standpoint of those are the guys that keep us free. Now we can all disagree on how our politics go for sure, but the men and women that are out there fighting to keep us free, that was just something I never understood, why there was any political agenda towards that. My wife and I, we were eating lunch somewhere, and we just bought a group of guys that were in uniform lunch somewhere. And she's a lot more creative than I am. And once we got done buying them lunch, she was asking when we were on our way home, like, you know, what else is it besides just buying them lunch that we could possibly do? And just really kind of got some creative juices flowing in a small way of, you know, it's not like we have a lot to offer, but both of us were really good at putting on clinics. And so we thought, well, maybe we'll just have a clinic here at the house and we'll donate our time, donate our arena, donate. We got steers donated, and we would have a clinic, a free clinic for anyone who'd serve. So we took on 15 headers and 15 healers, and it was free, free stalls, free plugins. We got the cattle donated. My sponsor started getting involved. They started donating awards. The town started hearing about it. Everyone just around me kind of got behind it, because it was almost an outlet for other people that were like-minded like myself to get behind it. Well, then one of my really good friends, Trey Johnson with Trey Johnson Ministries, he's a really good healer who also is a very good healing instructor. And so I started joining him with this, to where he started instructing the healing. And this started turning into more than just a clinic. There was people that were getting help that were struggling PTSD. There was guys that were getting help struggling spiritually. There was also guys struggling with suicide. And so what he brought to the table brought this clinic to where it was more than just a clinic. There was people who were truly getting help in and out of the arena from this. And it really grew to where I think 2020, we were getting hundreds of phone calls for this clinic. And so a lot of my military guys that would help vet the guys coming in, because it was at my house, you know, we have to be careful of, you know, who also comes at my house as well with my family around. They asked me, they said, well, man, have you thought about having a rope in? This has gotten a little bit bigger than just a clinic.
Right.
And this was my last NFR, you know, I was trying to get ready for my last NFR, and I was trying not to get too many things on my plate because I really wanted to finish strong. And I just started weighing in the pros and the cons, and my mind just went to just getting very creative on what this could do. You know, I prayed for, you know, obviously prayed about it for a long time to, you know, if I'm really going to help these guys, this is my chance to do it. You know, we wanted to know when Jackie and I were sitting there eating lunch, what we could do. And all of a sudden things started kind of presenting themselves. And so God was tugging on me a little bit, like, he wanted to know, here we go, you in or out. So I was like, all right, let's do this. Let's try this on. So we just on Veterans Day in 2020, we had a military roping where the military guys, we included the first responders because they were kind of getting crapped on that year with all the riots. So I wanted to bring both of them. And so military and first responders, we had a roping specifically for them. We was able to round up enough sponsor money to get them saddles and buckles. I was able to round up sponsor money myself to end up getting the top guys, the NFR guys, to come.
Yeah.
So the guys who were going to go to the NFR that year, every one of them showed up. And I thought, well, while they're here, I'll get them to rope with the other guys. So that way now the guys get a chance to draw one of the guys that they're going to watch on TV.
Right.
And then after that, I rounded up enough money where I'm like, well, let's set up the arena just like the NFR and let these guys see what it looks like to actually compete at the NFR. And it went off crazy that first year. Ended up just with a 30-day prepped event, rounding up some auction items from a few of my friends, getting a few of my friends to come up and support it. And we raised over $47,000 and was able to help a lady who was 3 weeks from being evicted with 8 kids, 100% disabled from the war, into a remodeled home. And I was like, if I can do that in 30 days, give me 365 days and I'll blow your socks off.
Right.
So it just kind of kept growing from there. And this year now it's an event now that we have live on the Cowboy Channel, live on X Factor through all the ropings. We raised over $160,000 for charity. We've been raising over $200,000 every year for that goes into charity and goes in the hands of military and first responders. And we're feeding a lot of them. We're clothing a lot of them. It's taken off more than what a cowboy of my intelligence level could possibly imagine.
Yeah. No, man, that's awesome. Always good to chat with a fellow believer. It sounds like the Lord has really blessed you guys in this ministry. You know, on top of dedicating so much time and effort to your nonprofit and the success with that, you've taken on the role of a full-time supportive husband to your wife, Jackie, and her rodeo career. What's it like being on the other side of the arena? Do you guys have any friendly competition happening between you?
We've had the competition when I was competing a little bit, but we stay pretty mutual on supporting each other. We there's not much I can beat her at. We just went and bowled the other day and couldn't even beat her with that. And those little basketball competitions, I've still yet to beat her, but I can when I can block her out. But no, she's a phenomenal athlete. And it is crazy. You said it very, very well. It's a 180 degree turn. When I was competing, she had my back. And now that I retired, Breakaway really has taken off, and that's her main event. And so now, it's 180 degree turn on that. So now I got her six, and it couldn't have happened at a better time, because if we were both trying to do this with kids, there was no possible way. And yeah, this year she ended up winning three more world titles for the WPRA. So she's a 23 time world champion.
Did you say
made 20, the NFR again 23? This year.
23
times won the world.
Ooh, wow.
She's won the American the last 2 years. This year, she also won the million. She has done something as a female athlete like very few has ever done.
Yeah.
And a full-time mom. That's some juggling.
Yeah. I always tell my wife, I said, look, God knew that men were weak and couldn't have babies. And that's why he raised up women to pick up our slack. So,
yeah.
Well, a woman is amazing. You also offer training clinics now. Can you tell us about those? Where do they take place? What do you offer? And what can folks expect from one of those clinics?
So I've been doing clinics for a long time. Since I've retired, my clinics have gotten a lot better, because one cool thing about the rope horse fraternities is we're getting judged on how well our horse scores, how good he runs all the way up in position, how good he sets up the steer in the corner, how good that horse frames across the pin, and how good he faces on a tight rope. Well, now I'm able to do the exact same thing that most ropers do. It was a little bit tough doing clinics when I was trying to compete at a high level, because as I'm practicing trying to be 3 seconds and 4 seconds and 5 seconds at these rodeos, it really doesn't help me get in the mindset of some of the lower numbered ropers that are just trying to hang on, leaving the box, that are trying to get their first swing up.
Right.
And so now that I've retired and fallen into more of a fraternity role, the stuff that I do at the fraternities to get my horses ready is the exact same thing that fits with most ropers. And so it's really helped me a lot with my teaching. I had over 40 clinics this year. And even Chris Cox said that was crazy. And that's what he does for a living as well, on the horse training events. But, I've truly enjoyed it. It's been fun. I've been getting DMs now of guys entering their first jackpot. I've been getting DMs from people winning their first buckle, their first saddle. We've been setting goals, and we've been watching them get smashed, and guys been smashing those goals. And I love it. It's very inspiring. And I enjoy being able to be good at something and then being able to give back at what I was good at. That's what I think that was so great about Liberty and Loyalty, is God used me in a way that I was really good at roping. And now I'm able to help a lot of these military guys and first responders with something that I'm good at. And so it's fun. It's great how God's been using me at that and at my clinics, and just the horsemanship that's been a lot of fun, because, horses, it's very difficult, because when they're given the wrong cues but still expect to do right, they're in a tough spot. And I always tell everyone, you rope with your right, but you win with your left. And so helping a lot of these ropers learn how to use that left hand and use their feet so they can make it a lot more clear to their horse how to work and how to handle the starts that they need to get. And it's been really fun to be able to watch the transition in that with my clinics. And, like I said, last year I was turning clinics down for the amount of clinics that I was having. And so I feel like I'm doing a good job when people are excited about it when I leave, and it's been taking off. So now we've been trying to figure out how to get digital. And so now I'm on a new test, trying to learn how to take what I've learned now and be able to use it digitally. And so, yeah, we've been working on a digital platform now as well and getting a website going. So trying to up it to where it's a little bit easier to follow me throughout the year on my clinics.
Speaking of website, to wrap it up, where can people stay in touch with you and learn more about how to get involved with your foundation? Talk to me on that.
My foundation is libertyandloyaltyfoundation.com. So you can follow that. I have an amazing event called the American Hero Celebration with Charlie Crawford. It's every year. It's in November. It's right there around Veterans Day. We have our roping qualifiers and our clinic for it in NRS in Decatur, Texas. And then the NFR showdown is, which is where the NFR guys come and rope, like getting ready for the NFR. And then the military first responder rope and short round is along with it. It's a great event. And it's at Cowtown Coliseum. It'll be, I think this year, November 10th, the day before Veterans Day. And so that's been taken off where we've been getting some great places to be able to host them and, you know, live on the Cowboy Channel for everyone to watch. But my clinics will be charliecrawfordtraining.com. My name is Charly. So there is a little bit of confusion on trying to find that. We're in the process of getting a website up where I can get all my clinic and tour dates down. And yeah, it's amazing how much busier retirement is, because I thought competing was all there. But yeah, now retirement, trying to get all these things done has been fulfilling, but it's been a stretch to reinvent myself. That's for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Sir, it's been a pleasure chatting with you, our audience. Check out those websites. That was charliecrawford.com and then
charliecrawfordtraining.com.
And then the other, libertyandloyaltyfoundation.com. Okay. So, and I think I hear something about a Charlie Crawford podcast as well.
Yeah. I started some podcasts. So my roping clinics are seasonal. There's not a lot of clinics to go on in the wintertime. And so that gives me a chance to kind of learn how to communicate now at another level, which I've enjoyed the heck out of them. I really have. I was a big fan when I was a young kid of 30-30s. I loved watching the sports on ESPN of, say, John Elway. How did John Elway's career get started? You know, what was his life story? And I love seeing that in rodeo. And so for me to get to interview from the insights of what I know, how the NFR works, what it's actually like to go up and down the road, to be able to get those questions and remember what it was like for myself struggling to get from high school to my first NFR. And so those are things there that I'm able to ask questions and give those insights. And then also know a lot of the backstories too, where you can keep it entertaining. And so I've been really excited about the podcast. So yeah, the Charlie Crawford podcast on Spotify, and I think all the podcast outlets.
That's awesome. We'll definitely list all of those URLs on the YouTube videos so our listeners can check those out. Charlie, thank you so much for taking the time to be on our podcast. We greatly appreciate it, sir.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Have a good day.